Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
And I'm joined by Mr. Raneem from Carco. How are we doing this morning, Carco?
Hey, good morning, Zach. How are you doing, brother? I'm doing fine.
Nice, man. I'm doing chill. I bought this kind of weird, it's kind of a fluffy jersey zip-up type beat, and it's got some spandex on the side, so I'm still trying to figure out if I like it or not, but I like the colors and it's really comfy. But you know when you buy some clothing and you're like, oh, did I need this, is it good? I'm kind of going through the motions on that at the moment.
I feel you. I think the way to kind of litmus test that is to go out to a place you usually go to in those new gears and see how you feel in that familiar environment with unfamiliar clothing. You know what I mean?
For sure. I think most of Dunedin is pretty much my familiar environment at this point. that experiment's been and gone.
Also, you know, it should be no more than 24 hours to attune to it. You know what I mean?
True. That's true. I did buy it. I haven't had it for 24 hours.
I mean, it looks tight, man. I like it. I like the spandex little features. I like the, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Nice. I like the utilitarian look. You a utilitarian aesthetic guy?
I'm a big, utility over aesthetic kind of guy, to be honest. Yeah, and definitely comfortability overall.
What was your most recent, and your most happy clothing purchase?
Oh, I'll tell you, man. I go to this cafe here in Auckland called Gray's. Mm-hmm. And downstairs in the cafe, there's a thrift store. And I found these, like, incredible baggy jeans, perfect fit, almost didn't need a belt for it. $50, dude.
Oof. Oh,
yeah, crazy. And I'm a pretty short guy with kind of wide hips, so it's hard to find like that baggy to perfect length look. These are just perfect, man. Got it in one.
Nice.
The first item I tried, perfect.
That's awesome. What is, because I've heard mixed things about like the Auckland secondhand shopping world. How do you rate it? Is there good op shops up there?
Oh, look, this, like, you kind of have to, just like with any op shop, bro, like, you got to scout. I'm kind of new to the kind of vintage store game. But there's definitely places like on K Road, they're going to charge you like premium retail prices for like, you know, vintage stuff. But yeah, if you do your scouting, kind of drive to Hamilton, make the trips and look for these high items, you'll find deals, man. Nice. I found a jacket recently for like $8 and it's like perfect jacket.
That's good, man. I'm originally from Invercargill. So whenever I go down to make a pilgrimage to see my father, always check out the op shops because they are insane. They're insanely good, insanely well priced.
They must be.
You can shit on Invercargill all you want, but the op shops are insane. Anyway, we're here to talk about your new song, OMG. The track opens with some pretty chunky 808s and a really, really cool flute sample. Was that a plugin or was that someone playing a flute?
I believe that was just a straight up splice sample, bro. I think the whole beat was based around that little sample of the flute.
Mm.
And then I went with the pads, the organs,
yeah,
and then I used the 808s and stuff. I like resampled that throughout the beat. I resampled that flute, like pitched it down and kind of melded it with more sounds and stuff. But I wanted to also keep it by itself at some point in the song. Because I don't know, it's cool to see the juxtaposition of like the clean sample and then how I've processed it later in the song.
Was that was Mask Off by Future kind of a little bit of an inspo there, or did you just want to play around with the flute?
No, I think I'm just Arab, dude. I think I can't get away from the flute, bro. They just touch me in some special way.
Oh, that's really beautiful. That's beautiful. You mentioned that you were making the beat, because this is really fascinating. You write, produce, record, master, you do everything for your music, which is really, really sick. Which of these fields did you start in? Were you originally a producer, originally a lyricist, originally XYZ? What was the go?
I honestly just wanted to write rhymes. I was just writing rhymes at the beginning, and I was like, big on rapping. I was doing some stand-up poetry at the time as well, maybe when I was like 15, 16. I think it hit me early after the first couple of songs I made that hey, buying beats is like really expensive. And it kind of adds up. So I was like, man, let me just learn how to make beats so at least I've got beats to rap over in the meantime. And this just kind of trickled into like, then I learned how to vocal mix, then I learned how to like mix a project, then I learned how to like master the track. So they all kind of just like happened upon each other, and it all started because I just wanted to rap more. I just wanted more opportunities to rap.
True, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What kind of, have your beats changed over your time as an artist, or are you kind of going with the trap vibe all the way through?
They've certainly changed, bro. And I mean, what I've put out is a fraction of like the stuff I've made. I think it's a good idea, at least for me, to like You know, if I like rock music, to go make for like a week. If I like, you know, heavy metal stuff, I'll make heavy metal stuff for like a week. Maybe some house stuff, and just get the feel for like how those different beats kind of come together as like a blueprint. I would say that they've all kind of like found the little parts of those have kind of all found their way into my new stuff, and they will I'm sure my sound is just going to continue to evolve if I keep that up. Certainly from the first beats, dude. You know, for like a year, they were just like, I didn't even know how a kick was supposed to sound for like a whole year.
Some garage band ass type beat.
Just awful. Just like all mud, you know what I mean? It's like everything had low end in it. Just, yeah, it's trash.
Yeah, yeah. And there's kind of a special beauty in that. I mean, you know, depending if you're into lo-fi kind of tunes, but I mean, you know, very well produced on OMG. Everything sounds very crisp and clean. Sounds great.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That stuff is not easy for me. Like, production was not, didn't come easy for me. I think the rapping kind of did, but like, man, production was a grind for me to figure out for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll even listen back to some stuff when I'm like 16, 17, and I'll just be like, this is terrible. Yeah. But I appreciate what this guy was trying to do back then. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure, man. Hey, everything's a process. Everything's a process.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything's figure outable.
It is. It is. Okay. I like that word, figure-outable. The cover art on OMG features a pretty surreal image. It's a field of daisies which have eyes in them instead of florets, and they're staring at the viewpoint, which is, of course, yeah, they're staring at the focal point, which is at you, I guess. What made you choose this image to represent OMG?
There's a line in the song where I say, "There's always eyes." Like, no matter what you do, there's always eyes. The song itself is about, like, while there's such a, I suppose, my friend put it this way, actually, while there's such a necessity to make it, it's ugly to be seen, but it's, like, beautiful to see. And, you know, the whole thing is, like, me kind of deciding when and where to put my ego, etc. And I think the kind of nostalgic feel of the cover art is like that it's familiar, but that there's always these freaking eyes watching you no matter where you go. Even if it's in a field of daisies, you've got eyes kind of burning your soul.
The struggle of being perceived, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, man. Maybe it's a bit narcissistic, but you know.
No, I think that's possibly a little bit of anxiety speaking. Someone who probably has anxiety. I definitely relate to that. I'm curious. This is something that I find with a lot of modern music, is that there's no fades. There's always a sudden, abrupt end, and I found that with your song. And I'm just going to ask, did a fade ever come into mind? Because I really missed the fade. The fade was such a crucial element of an outro, and it's an art that's disappeared. Would you ever consider putting a fade on that track?
That's an incredible question, and I've like talked about this kind of ad nauseum with my friends.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Yeah, like the fade versus like how do you do an outro? I like what Dr. Dre used to do on his old beats, where he was like, I'm going to make myself part of the song and just play the actual beat out for the last, like, you know, 20 bars to show you that I made this beat.
Yeah.
No, I like the abrupt endings, man. I think the more abrupt, the better.
just like mid-sentence, just cut off the song.
Yeah, sometimes even that's dope. Like,
yeah, for
straight
sure.
up.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't think I make the kind of music where a fade makes sense unless I'm, you know, showcasing like a really cool beat I made. But I think this beat was more supplemental to the vocals in this case.
For sure. For sure. I think that would be cool. I think if you're looking for a way to make incorporate a fade into OMG, just like repeat the verse for a second time. I mean, the chorus, sorry, for a second time, or just have like a kind of throwaway third verse that you can just fade away on. But hey, I'm not telling you anything. I'm just yeah.
Hey, man, noted.
No worries. Earlier in the year, you curated a songwriting camp in Tamaki Makaurau with 10 other local artists. Now, you work primarily in the fields of hip hop. Were these other hip hop artists, or were these artists from a variety of genre?
No, and honestly, I love, like, hip hop is near and dear to my soul. But I'd be remiss to say I'm like not a fan of every other thing equally. I curated the songwriting camp. There's a fellow artist I met at an APRA song hubs called Mashan. And him and I got kind of close over the short time that he was here before he moved to Hawaii. So before he moved to Hawaii, we really wanted to put together a songwriting camp. So I took it upon myself to do like most of the organizing. The artists that came through ranged from like pop to R&B to like, you know, acoustic indie, and there was also a couple of like new school hip hop guys in there. ultimately, I curated each room in that Airbnb to have like just enough of a variety of genres where, but like nothing where you would be like, there's definitely going to be hip hop coming out of here. There's definitely going to be R&B coming out of here. I think it was cool. There was quite a good fusion of genres in that camp. Yeah.
Nice. Are you a fan of Auntie Ray? She's a, I don't know a lot of New Zealand R&B artists, but she's one that I've kind of kept my eye on.
Yeah, I also met her at the Afro Song Hubs that I went to.
Awesome.
I think she like works for Afro. But that's where I met her. And then she came to a recent show in March. I went to Diaz's album release in, I forget when, but you know, they're partners. There was a beautiful song about her actually on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm good with Auntie Ray. She's cool as hell.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's awesome. Now, whenever I get people who... I'm going to make it a thing that whenever I get a hip-hop act to come through, I want to talk about the state of hip-hop, because that's quite a current thing that's in the discourse. Is hip-hop dying? So on and so forth. And how would you rate 2024 as a year for hip-hop?
2024, man. Look, my sights have kind of expanded beyond hip-hop a little bit. Mm. Not because I think hip-hop's so bad and, like, you know, you gotta da-da-da. Like, I don't know if you know Kojak, Irish rapper. Incredible guy, dude. Yeah. Kojak's really, really cool. some Arabic rappers, like Marwan, he's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think hip-hop's in an interesting state. I think people don't know if it's oversaturated in one way and if they're trying to revolutionize it in another way. I think people are, like, kind of doing their thing at the moment, which is, I'm all for that. I don't think it's in a terrible spot, and I can't even say it's in a bad spot, really. Like, the good stuff's out there, you just gotta like kind of look for it.
For sure. I think that's pretty good measured take there. I don't think we have a heck of a lot of time left for the corridor, but I do want to know, do you got any more tunes coming out, and have you got any shows lined up?
Got no shows lined up, mate.
Any shows, cover?
Any shows lined up, brother? I kind of like to put my own shows on, eh? So I want to put out a string of releases. So this is the first of a string, kind of on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime next year will be when I kind of start like putting on the shows. And I'll be aiming to do that once every 2 months or something.
Come on.
And you never know, man. Maybe next year might be the tour. So
Yeah.
I'm really getting my hands dirty, like elbow deep in this mud, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Will you be releasing an EP? Will these string of releases be related to a bigger project, or just be some loosies?
Oh, look, you just have to wait and see. Hey, maybe. Hard maybe.
Okay, hard maybe. Alrighty.
Hard maybe on the EP, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the Breakfast Show this morning. It was great chatting to you, Raneem.
I appreciate you, Zach. Have a beautiful rest of your morning.
Likewise, mate. Likewise. Take care. All right, that was Raneem from Kako talking about his new track, OMG, which we are about to play for you right now, ASAP Rocky. You're listening to The One. Up next, we'll have more ramble chats just with me. I'll see if I can rope in anyone from the station to come in for a yarn. But anyway, here is OMG, Kako. You're listening to The One, Radio 1, forever.
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.